TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TalkLine. It's Friday, and I'm Diane McGachran. You're whoever you are, wherever you are, and we're going to go ahead and just jump right into our show today with John Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome
morning,
to TalkLine.
How are you doing there?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Oh, boy, it's been really nice weather.
Look at it. I know.
Anyway, I'd like to bring up a subject here that was brought up in the past before.
Uh-huh.
Some of the people who live here, been here for a long time.
Yeah.
Some people were, they didn't have a deed on their land. Some of them were being taken away from them. And, you need to have that permit,
uh-huh.
that deed. Well, a long, long time ago, before this came into stage here, the Caucasian rules and all that regulations, people came here like immigrants and made their own home on their own land, and they didn't know nothing about the paperwork and all that because natives were not that well educated in the system, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And they didn't give them time to file or let them understand what was going on. Now some of these lands are being threatened or taken away from people. I don't understand that ain't right to me because people who live there all their lives have grandfather rights, and they should. That's just as good as a deed, but you have to have it official. What I'm trying to tell people is make sure the land that you live on has a deed on there. If not, look through your records and go to the city office and make sure your land is deeded out to the rightful owners, because they can be taken away for some reason.
Huh.
And I've heard that threatened in the past before on other native people, you know. See, when this first came about, the Caucasian had all these rules and regulations, and the natives came here undereducated and didn't know all these rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, they were like immigrants. They came and homestead on the land, and they made it where they thought it was their land because they lived there all their lives. And that's where the grandfather rights, what I'm trying to say, come into existence, because that's just as good as a deed, I think. And you work hard for your property and for your land and all your home, and people want to come and just take it away from you, you know,
mm-hmm.
The native people. How would you like it, Diane, if I came to your house, I'm native, and I said to you, your house is my house, now leave?
Well, I'd ask.
What would you say?
Can I have a spare bedroom? No, I'm just kidding. No, that would be awful. That would be awful.
I mean,
of course.
Same thing as the Indian land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this land was made up of Indian, United States. They came into your land and said, this is my land. Now, get out of here. Either live or die here. You don't want to live here, you're going to die here. You have no other option. That's the way the land was stealing from the American Indians. Then the white came and stole that. Then the black people came and stole that. Now we have all this controversy.
Wait, what? What did the black people stole what?
It went into a cycle where people were stealing land, Indian land, no matter who you were.
Oh, okay, in the lower 48?
Yeah, even
okay.
The black people, anybody. Somebody, they wiped the whole nation of Indians. How do we not know there are black people involved in that, Calvary?
Oh,
history
okay.
has a way of repeating itself, you know.
Okay.
It's repetitive. So either work out solutions, work together, instead of being apart. Be sure, be nice if the world was one
mm-hmm.
big happy family. We would have calls like I'm calling about, you know.
Yeah.
Be more peaceful.
It's very
complicated.
I want the
people here who don't have land to look into the history of their land. And get that straightened out as quick as you can. because it can easily be taken away from you. You know, I'm trying to give a fair warning and give you at least time to, you know, fight for your land.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, anyway, I wish everyone a good, happy summer and good fishing. I'd like to also thank ONC for bringing us fish, me and my brother and other people who need it, you know. That's good cooperation we have.
Mm-hmm.
Another quick note, real quickie.
Okay.
You know, the fishers were complaining about the that virus going around the fisheries cameras and all that. Well, they should have made it law in some way that lower 48 people can't come here and fish because they might happen to bring the virus over here. And in my history, I've known people who do that, who work on the slope. They make big money and leave Alaska. They don't spend one dime over here, maybe for a candy bar and a pop.
Mm.
And they leave here and they brag to you about it. And, you know, that's embarrassing, especially when you see all the hardships our native people are going through. And somebody has to brag with you and say, I made $20,000, $30,000 this year. Well, guess where I'm going? I'm going to level 48 and spend it all. The heck with Alaska. That's your attitude.
Wow.
And that's no good, you know. Hmm. These fish fisheries, canneries and all, got together with their entity and workout programs where you learn cultural heritage and how to treat people with respect and heritage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Work toward it. So.
Okay.
Okay, I said mouthful now.
I got it out of your system, John.
Okay, I feel a little better now.
You guys
have a good weekend. Everyone have a good weekend. Wear your life jacket. When you go boating, make sure them little kids have proper life jackets also.
Okay, yeah.
And always watch them kids, you know. Mm. They're missing some, like when I was small, I used to be watching the waves all the time, never thinking like, you know, your thoughts are elsewhere, so you always got to watch them, you know,
okay.
For safety.
Yeah.
And please don't drink and drive and enjoy your day today.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, Kayana, Diane.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to Ray Bourne, United States Fish and Wildlife Service.
Good morning, Diane. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great, just busy, you know. Fish are coming in, which
I
is
know.
Good news.
Yeah, yes.
not as much as we would like, but there's some in there.
Yeah.
You know, so I flew over the counted boats yesterday as part of our daily survey when the fishing opportunities were out there, and it seemed to be more boats, but I'm hearing from some of my folks who are out fishing that it was still pretty slow. So we're hoping that more fish come in soon,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see how that comes together. But it looks like, you know, looking at the assessment report from yesterday, that we're starting to see some more chum and some more sockeye, so that looks all hopeful for what we should see in the next few days with that.
Okay.
Fish Watcher are meeting with the Customer Intertribal Fish Commission this afternoon to talk about opportunities for next week and what we think that should look like. So we should have some news what opportunities we think would be appropriate for next week after that meeting today.
Oh, after today's meeting. Okay.
Yeah, after today's meeting. It'll be late today, so it probably won't have anything out for anybody until early next week at the best. The Federal Assistance Board, however, is meeting on Monday afternoon also to consider federal management of chum and sockeye. So that could change some of the dynamics of how we're doing fisheries management this year. But everybody does have a tribal representative on the Customer River Intertribal Fish Commission. They can contact them, you know, via the website, which is cuscosalmon.org. And that's kind of a good point to talk about. Every village or every tribe has a representative on that Intertribal Fish Commission that it's kind of your voice in what you think management should be.
Okay, yeah.
And then people also have an opportunity on Mondays at 10 a.m. to call into a talk line. And that's basically a conference line where you can express your concerns, your opinions about that, and you can get that information also at the cuscosalmon.org website. And you can call in either via a Zoom meeting, or there's actually a phone number you can call in also to express your opinions. I'm on that call. Intertribal Fish Commission's on that call, and we're there to hear from people and understand kind of what they're thinking about for salmon fishing this year.
Okay, what time on Mondays?
10 o'clock, 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time to call in, and it's on. We're on there for an hour.
Okay.
As long as we have people that are calling in, and we'll listen to people's concerns and what their thoughts are, and then try to respond as what we know.
Okay.
So talk about fires. We still have 19 active fires on the refuge with about 110,000 acres. So it's a fair amount out here.
Wow.
The biggest areas are up by Chivac and then up by St. Michael. It seems to be that's where most of the fire is. Now, Alaska Fire Service is responding with smoke jumpers to fires that threaten native allotments. So we're paying attention to those. The refuge areas with no native allotments or native lands associated with it, fire, I guess, is becoming part of the ecosystem here. So it's part of what we're doing and how things are playing out here. But the weather's looking a little better. I think it's moving forward to that. And probably some messaging we've gotten from recently for the fire service is that the BLM Alaska Fire Service responds to wildfires in the Kuskokwim region. So I'm working with the with them and the zone management officer for the south half of Alaska to manage these fires.
Yeah.
And
get it out, Ray.
Yeah. Oh, who am I speaking about? What am I talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
lots of things going on. So there's plans to reduce COVID-19 infections. So when our smoke jumpers are going in there, we're trying to keep them away from people, and we'll come in and pick them up with helicopters and then transport them, you know, back to the jump base where they can go off for more work like that.
Okay.
Most fires in the region are started by lightning. So, you know, the best thing is to try and avoid any human-caused fires as much as possible. But also, you know, people can report to the fires to us, and basically we just need a community you're in, the kind of direction, maybe distance of the fire, and that helps me to relay the information to the fire center so they can say, okay, we need to respond to this, or how are we going to respond and that. So there's a bunch of information. There's also a current fire map, fire listing, and more information on our website. People can go to that and take a look at what that is. That's at fws.gov. /refuge/Yukon_Delta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And or just Yukon Delta and Google, and it'll get you there. So the office still remains closed to protect the safety of the community and our staff. We are available by phone, however. You can call our main number, 543-3151. And I have somebody monitoring that. They'll, you know, pick up the messages and relay to the person that can best respond. So that's kind of the quick updates of what's going on for the refuge right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's plenty. That's a lot going on. All right.
There's always a lot going on. Thanks, Diane.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you called. We appreciate it. Okay, we're going to go. Oh, okay. Bye. Oh, I didn't know he was still there. And we're going to go to Cesari from Bethel. Good morning, Cesari.
Good morning. I hear you missed my call, so.
Well, yeah, I was wondering what happened to him.
And I think I was too pumped out watching what's going on in the world, in the United States, and I don't want to get with my negative answer to the call, and I may do maybe wrong thing, but I tell you what. For example, when there was those protests going all over the place, United States, no one, not MSN, not NBC, no one mentioned problem with coronavirus. It's not even mentioned. Those people have been going through with no mask, hundreds, thousands of people across United States, no one. And now, when Trump getting to rally in Tulsa, every second minute, MSN, and NBC and CNN, what happened with virus? What happened with every 5 minutes they're talking about what kind of combination, what kind of rally is that? Why is the virus? Why not? Even nobody mentioned when there was the protest. That's a simple example of the honesty of the NBC, CNN, MSN. All those things is unfair.
Yeah, so if you go and look at some of the footage, you'll see that most protesters are wearing masks.
Not even today they have a protest, and I see maybe 10% with no mask, going carry kids over the head and no mask.
Okay, you're yelling.
No, okay, slow down. But today there's that teen protest.
So, Cesare, just to cut in, do you want people to wear masks?
No, this is not about the mask. Yeah,
you do.
Whatever, no.
You don't.
You choose it. You choose it.
Free choice. Okay.
You choose and you worry or not worry. But that is...
Okay.
But you see, I'm not talking about mask. I'm talking honesty to talk because it's good for some of them to not worry and getting protest, and some of them, when they're getting, they even not know what be happen, who be worried on Trump rally these coming days. So they're talking really ahead. They already know they're going to spread it, coronaviruses. But they know nothing mentioned about what happened in the protest. And about those protests and those looters and those vandals. The New York mayor released those vandals. They should be prosecuted with for destroying people property. I don't know why, because the federal government allowed us to keep the gun to protect your life and you protect your property and protect you what you built all your life. And this guy's going and burn it, private businesses, houses, demolished, and barrage that city, New York, release all of those looters. That is sin. That is, you know, where are we going in there to allow and ignore bad things here? That is ridiculous. That can't get to my head. Why they're allowed and they're not talking? The NBC, CNN, they're just split second and changing subject. That's not right. They remind me. They remind me ISIS in Iraq and Syria destroying culture. Mostly those people would getting those statue. I believe 99.9%. They don't know even who is that statue. They don't know the names. They see only white men on the horse and they're putting him down. That's what is in there. They're not allowed resisting to show history, the country, those people in Syria, they've been the ISIS, they've been destroyed with the hammers, 2,000, 3,000 year sculptures. Why did we not go to the Egypt and destroy these pyramids? Because there was racism over there and slavery. Why we not do that? Why not get broke every history in there? That is national, international law to protect that. They want to change the university names. They're not allowed movies. Gone in the Wind, one of the best movies what I watched. They want to, no, it's no good. They burn the libraries, kids' libraries.
What?
Oh, yeah, the first in the Minneapolis, they burn kids' library. The CNN no tell you that, NBC. Mm-hmm. They go look at another channel. They look other way.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what is wrong. There is so much cover up in there. That's why I was not called, because I was hoarding. That is where are we going through? What is the discrimination? That is, you know, how many police been killed? How many widows is in there with the police families? Thousands of them, thousand kids with no fathers because being killed. They no one shoot somebody to protect themselves. They no one shoot the criminal, and they happen to get killed. There was hundreds of them, not two, three of them. There was no matter black or white. That is all those who shoot and kill the blue. And the killing, the recently last week. I don't know, you see CNN no show that in Florida they kill young 30 to mid. The late 20s police with four kids, black guy. They don't care. They shoot everything. Every police would represent the law. There should be nobody talking about. There is only talking because guy shooting with taser cop, and he shot him to defend himself, and before that he beat him up. So they're talking about, and they're saying it's discrimination. What you have to do? You're just laying down and he shoot you with the taser, get your gun and shoot you 100 times? What that is about?
Mm.
We need police. We need strong police. We need defend our society. We need protect our families and houses. Not this. It's happened. There is bad apples. I'm sure there is. But
okay.
It's mostly of them, we need them, and we need the protection, and we should tell them thank you for helping us, not just sitting on them and shooting them and blame everything for the discrimination.
Yeah.
I tell you about my contact with discrimination.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, call
again. I tell you how I face it first, discrimination.
Okay.
Okay. So far, have a good weekend and enjoy Father's Day.
Sorry. I hope you got that out of your system. Because there was a lot to unpack there. But I'll let that go.
Lots are true in there. And
I'm sure.
People don't look that thing. People, those liberal Democrats, they're looking, walking like with horses with goggles. They don't want to pull them up. They don't want to look around.
Yeah.
That is getting those what they tell them, and that is all lies.
Yeah. You think?
Okay.
You think they're all like that? Every one of them.
No, it's those bad CNN, they have the most money what they make it with the coronavirus and this protest. There was CNN, NBC with the commercial. They're charging double, and the commercial and advertisement is double longer.
Okay,
The World War III if they had to make it money.
Okay, so go ahead and call back because
okay.
I do want to hear.
Come down with them.
I want to hear your story.
Okay.
But we're
going
to go to the next caller and then
okay.
That. Okay, awesome.
Bye.
Okay, bye. So we're going to go to Wassily from Nebraska. Good morning, Wassily. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah. Hello, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, this morning's Native American Talk Line, the topic on protest and police issues.
Okay.
That was a good topic there. The peaceful protest on police killing,
mm-hmm.
Turning out the violence during the past weeks was like watching a documentary, 1960s protests,
yes.
With police confronting to block protesters. It's not a wise call, showing an incompetent government leadership.
Okay.
The protesters should have been met by government-elected officials to work out peacefully.
Right, okay.
Yes, the conduct by police killing while putting down and keeping a person down was wrong way. I saw the knee to the head and neck.
Mm.
That is not how I was trained nearly 20 years ago when I was a tribal police officer.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and how I was trained was the most effective and safe way. And whenever I call on radio talk show, don't get me wrong, I am not criticizing, but speaking my mind. All right, good morning, everybody.
Oh, good morning. All right. Thank you, Wassily. I thought he had more to say. All right. We're going to go to Tom from Chilista. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you, Diane?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, I just want to call, as usual, and give a couple updates for from Chilista.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got voting going on. I know I've been harping about that for the last 4 weeks now. 4 weeks ago is when everything was mailed out to our shareholders for voting. The last prize deadline was this past Monday, the 15th. So hopefully today, but possibly Monday, we're going to be announcing all of the winners for that round of prizes. Okay. And the top prize for that round was $10,000. So that'll be exciting to share with everybody. The next deadline is actually the final deadline for shareholders to vote. 10 days away, June 29 at 5 p.m. So hopefully everyone by now has received their voting materials. They were mailed 4 weeks ago. The blue paper proxy is sent to every eligible shareholder. So use that. And we already included a postage paid envelope with that. It's pre-addressed to the Inspector of Elections. Or right beneath your name and address is the PIN, five letters, the online PIN to vote online at chalistavote.com. And when you vote at chalistavote.com, you get more chances to win prizes in the final rounds of prizes.
But
more importantly, beyond the prizes, voting is how you exercise your rights and your power as a shareholder. This is probably the most powerful piece of paper you have as a Chalista shareholder, because only the shareholder votes decide who will be the directors, who will be elected this year. So just remind all the shareholders again, chalistavote.com. That's where you can vote online.
Great.
Or if you go to our website, chalistacorp.com, that's where you can get information about Chalista and the annual meeting.
Okay, and when is the next call-in show for Chalista?
We had the three that were scheduled. I know there was an issue with the one that was supposed to be on June 10th.
Okay.
But we had one this past Wednesday. So the next one isn't scheduled until after the annual meeting.
Okay.
And we'll be sharing a recap and the voting results and all that other fun stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That should be a lively meeting. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Take care, everyone. Be obviously.
Oh, good morning. Okay. Well, that was kind of a little flurry for the morning here. I think we may be going into a break or not. I'm not sure. But I'll go ahead and give out the numbers for you. 543-5985. 543-0-2756. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. You can be anonymous for calls and emails. And I'll see you on the other side of the break. You might want to wash your hands or make sure you have a mask available next time you go to the store. All right. Bye.
Social distancing is an important way to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Social distancing includes avoiding gatherings, staying 6 feet away from others whenever possible, staying home if you're sick, and avoiding handshakes, hugs, and other forms of casual social contact. Social distancing works, and it's important. Your actions matter now. Learn more about how to prevent the spread of COVID-19 at coronavirus.alaska.gov.
It's dust season in Alaska, and it's a real health hazard, especially for our kids and elders. Dust can cause respiratory problems, coughing, sneezing, chest pain, and more. Dust can trigger accidents and interfere with subsistence activities. We can help keep dust down by slowing down. And remember to cover our loads when we're hauling dirt or gravel. Dust is pollution. Please slow down. This message is brought to you by the Department of Environmental Conservation.
If you become ill with COVID-19, do you know who will care for your children? Have you established your circle of support? Your circle of support plan should be in place before the need occurs and include people who are not at high risk of developing COVID-19. The state of Alaska and multiple nonprofit organizations have created a planning tool to help you be prepared. please visit www.covid19.alaska.gov and scroll down to Resources, where you'll find the link Planning for Families with Children to get started today.
Welcome back. I just want to do a quick shout out to my baby sister in Springfield, Missouri, who's listening in all the way down yonder. Hey, Joe. Okay, going to go to Gert.
Hi,
good morning,
Diane.
Gert. Hi, how are you?
Hello. You know what? I'm sorry, but the last time I called, I remember I was drifting off to, I don't know. But you know what?
I don't know what.
The more I think about things, it kind of seriously, you know, honestly, Diane.
Okay.
When you share a concern about people not wearing masks in public, mm-hmm. or, you know, people going around, you know, I hate to say, but I think I've already said it. We're in Bethel. We're probably the farthest place from any other state in the United States. And the only way it could have come to Bethel is by jet, and which it did, I guess. Yeah, it made its way here. But, you know, what kind of makes me mad is, like, being from Bethel, being born and raised and living here and being around people I love and care about.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, and I share this with the class, gossip has a good way of making people get really worried.
Mm-hmm.
And Bethel is a gossip hub, especially from Bethel to Bethelite, from, you know, born and raised. And there's how many of us here. And I'm pretty sure there's Hoffman's and everybody else listening all over, you know.
So what?
What's pissing me off is that people aren't taking this virus serious enough.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's just like, it's almost like you keep watching it on the news. It's on the news. It's on, and these people are dying, and this virus is spreading, and people are dying. And then complacency or idiocracy. I don't know which can make a culture or any people more stupid or susceptible to any type of disease. You know, when people think, like, I didn't support Trump. I didn't even vote for him. Seriously, I did not.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is you let somebody that's incompetent lead a people, right? Incompetent individual leading a country.
Okay.
And there are people that are, I hate to say, stupid and dumb enough to follow him. God bless their souls.
Okay.
You know? But the thing that pisses me off is we're here, we're watching, and we're listening, and it's creeping up here. And there's a lot of us up here that are, like, just really seriously thinking, how in the world can God allow somebody so stupid to run the states of all our states and claim that Christ claimed that he's, like, he's the chosen one or whatever, you know, not. I'm going to tell everybody that's listening to me that knows me. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot that know me here.
Mm.
Everybody better wake up and start paying attention seriously.
Okay.
Because this virus is not a joke.
Okay.
Unless
Gert, yeah.
You know, unless they want to end up in the hospital dying from pneumonia.
Okay.
And then, like, all the, everything that's been flying out there, telling people social distancing, wash your hands, whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's common sense. But there are certain individuals in this world that are stupid.
Okay, but Gert, it's better to
say. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, but better to say maybe like your point of view, which is fine. But then I think when you start making it like that, it gets tough. I mean,
Diane, there are stupid people in this world / dumb.
Okay, but
literally.
Okay.
Stupid, dumb people in this world are the ones that are going to spread this epidemic out of proportion. I guess that's how I.
Okay. I mean, but it could happen accidentally, too.
But the thing, no.
Yeah, it could.
There's no accident.
Yeah, I could accidentally touch something in AC and not.
I could accidentally take a trip to Anchorage and come back and say, hi, hello, everybody, and get everybody sick.
Well, it's a different thing.
That's how it happened.
Okay. Well, I get your point, and thank you for calling in.
I love you, and I love my cohorts, and I love everybody in the YK Delta.
I know.
Don't get me wrong.
No, you care. I know.
Valerie Davidson, Jean Peltola,
okay.
Everybody I admire.
Yeah, yeah.
I want everybody to be safe.
I gotcha.
Practice.
Okay.
If anything, practice what? Common sense.
Okay. I think you made that very clear.
I hope so.
You did.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep.
All right.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. So we just want to be a little bit careful of getting too negative toward other people and stuff. We're going to go to Mary from Bethel. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Talkline.
Thank you for taking my call. I totally agree with the caller just previous to me. I have several issues that I want to point out.
Okay.
One is the coronavirus pandemic, and the woman ahead of me, she's totally right. There are people who are absolutely, totally dumb. I mean, like, common sense. Use common sense. And you know what? When I go up to the ER, there are people, healthcare providers, who will talk to me, and they'll even splatter their saliva on my face. And that's not good. Mm. And then in the apartment building where I live, again, no common sense is being followed. And like there's one person who's isolated. And so what happens, she comes to my door yesterday, no mask whatsoever. And again, I keep suggesting to the apartment building where I live and the agency that owns this place. All I'm told is like nothing can be done. We can't do anything. That's stupid. So like if people used common sense, they would listen to suggestions. I keep suggesting that at the apartment building where I live, we get health educators come here on a regular basis and do educating since the apartment owners won't do that. And then like when we go up to the ER, a lot of times I debate and decide, should I go up, should I not go up? And then like when I do, I don't really get the treatment that I'm seeking, that I ask for.
Hmm.
And what seems to happen constantly is the healthcare providers deal, I mean like, seems like they'll do anything to aggravate us. And when we have serious illnesses, stress is not good for us.
Right. That's true.
It's not good for us. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I keep suggesting, like, to the healthcare providers, that they treat other people like they want to be treated. I mean, like, there are a lot of us who are very considerate of other people, even our worst enemies. And so everybody needs to do their part to help out, not to spread the coronavirus pandemic. We all need to do our part. And parents should not rely on the schools, the churches to educate their children. Education starts at home. Children watch what they experience at home. Abnormal things going on. When they grow up to think that's a normal accepted activity when it's not.
Hmm.
And kids, they don't ever forget what they learn when they're children. And then I see so many parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, who to get what they want, they yell and scream and cry and pinch and whatnot, and I mean that's not a normal thing. Education starts within the home first, and even if children are getting their social education at the schools or elsewhere, still the parents should still be the number one educators.
Sure.
The other issue I had was the fishing, the food,
mm-hmm.
With the global warming, everything is affected, right? I really do want fish, but I don't have any fish. I want fish hands, but we have to go all the way down to Brownsville and to get fish. And again, if we have serious medical problems, that's hard.
I think, does ONC ever call you? Sometimes they make deliveries to elders.
I don't know. They do sometimes, but a lot of times they won't.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I hope, and then some certain villagers have made a decision to close down their villages from visitors and whatnot and people getting out of their villages. And the federal government, the so-called PROs and the lawmakers should respect what these villages are doing. After all, they know better what goes on in their villages. So
absolutely.
Another thing is to really listen to what people suggest, what villages suggest.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You all have a good day.
Thank you for calling, Mary.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning. So we're going to go to Buck from Bethel. Good morning, Buck. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. The lady that called up before Mary, I would express to her there is no cure for stupid.
Oh.
So I kind of agree with her. It just, there's a lot of people that, and like what Cesare was saying, it's on the news here, it's on the news there. But if you listen to the other news channel, you don't need a mask. If you listen to this news channel, you absolutely have a mask.
Yeah.
So it's who's educating you.
Right.
But, this coronavirus, I was talking to one of my grandkids' mommies that lives down in Kenai last night on the phone, and I asked her, so are you making it through the coronavirus okay? And she just started really laughing and said, well, I'm not going to catch coronavirus. And I said, well,
why not?
Yeah, you know, gee whiz, you know, you got a little girl there, you got my granddaughter there to watch after, and you got to take care of yourself. And she says, yeah, but I don't have to worry about it way down here. We're not worried about it. And there's only a few cases.
Uh-oh.
And I said, well, do you guys use masks or anything like that? No, we just do what we want. And laughed and giggled, and she said, I'm not going to catch it. I'm young and everything. And I said to her, and I might have came up with a new phrase. I haven't heard it said before.
Uh-oh, here we go.
You don't catch coronavirus. Coronavirus catches you.
Oh, okay. Okay,
And if you look at it that way, like you're a bird and a big bird catches you, or you're a fish, and a fisherman catches you, or you're a hunter and a bear catches you.
Yeah.
That's a lot scarier. If you look at it, something's going to catch you.
You might want to prevent that.
Yeah, you might want to wear a mask. I had a sister down in Florida, you know, and she might be dumb, but she's not stupid. Because she's... She's my big sister. And,
okay, you're allowed to say that?
Well, yeah. But anyway, in May, and this is only middle of June, but in May, maybe middle of May, I asked her, how are you doing down there with the coronavirus? And she says, the what? And I says, the coronavirus. She says, a virus? What kind of virus? What are you talking about? And I said, you're in Tallahassee, Florida, and you haven't heard about the coronavirus? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, 2 weeks later, she heard about it, and a month later, she heard about it because Florida's growing leaps and bounds with it.
Yeah.
And now she has heard about it and knows about it. But don't you watch the news? No. I made them masks and sent down masks because they can't get masks. They don't know where to get masks. I haven't even heard of wearing masks in the stores or anything. It's not optional, but I gave them masks, and, oh, they're pretty and they're nice, and we'll use them if we need them. And it just, that's how it's going to spread. And if you don't want it to spread in Bethel, start wearing your mask. If you don't want it to go to the village, you know, start wearing your mask down there too, and make sure everybody does. And the other point I was going to say, the city says we're a second class city and we're not allowed to, you know, stop people at the airport or screen them or do this because the state didn't mandate it. We're not allowed to do it because we're a second class city and we have to go by what the state says. We can't override them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Chivac, where I spent 20 years and my family lives, is a second-class city. Now, you try to get on the airplane and fly to Chivac. You can't get on it unless the tribal government of Chivac has given you the okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring people up to the airport all the time. They can't go to Hooper Bay. They can't go to Scammon. They can't go to Chivac. They can't go to Newtok. They can't go anywhere without the tribe's approval first. So why can't it get done in Bethel?
Right. That's a good point.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, wear your masks, and there's no cure for stupidity. And... the coronavirus can catch you, not the other way around.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right,
Buck.
Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to go to Patty. Good morning, Patty. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too.
I just wanted to say this is to all parents and grandparents and any youth that are listening. I wanted to tell the parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, bring your kids to your local community government meetings, be that tribal, municipality, because that is how we teach our next generation how to be our next leaders. Hmm. When I was younger, I didn't know that I was being introduced to this type of world, being a public advocate, being a tribal advocate, village advocate, speaking up for what you believe in is what I grew up witnessing. My mom, my grandma, my dad, a lot of my family members. My grandma Sophie always made sure she brought all the kids to the community meetings because she's introducing them to that world. I know it can be very taxing when we're at those community meetings and the kids are loud, but they're getting, they're getting open to it. They're seeing it, mm-hmm. and they're seeing what we do. And until we start, doing that for them, there's nothing is going to change. And then I want to say to the people in the current local governments, you guys are doing a great job all over Alaska, downstates, because working in a tribal setting for almost 6 years now, the hardest thing to do is to work every day, Monday through Friday, and having the goal of doing something good, but then, like, you can do 100 things good in your job every month, but then the two things that something, if something bad happens or if someone gets left out or if someone doesn't like what's going on, mm-hmm. that is going to be blasted all over the community, and it's going to be blasted all over Facebook. And we take it hard because we are literally working for our community, and it gets very exhausting when we are trying our best, and all we want to do is help our people do better. We're trying to learn. We're going back and reading old minutes. We're going back and reading old resolutions. We're learning from the people before us because we're working for the people next. We're working for our next generation, our kids, mm. our future grandkids, our nieces and nephews. They're the ones who are going to benefit from it. And I just want to say good job, everybody. I'm really proud of you. Keep it up. Don't get discouraged. Just know that that's what we're working towards, and I hope everyone has a happy Father's Day to all you dads and uppas and everyone in between. So thank you.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and give the weather out real quick. For Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta, tonight, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of rain showers in the evening. Lows around 50, north wind 15 miles per hour. And may I make just one point that if you go out around 11 at night, midnight, the lighting, especially when it's been a real nice day like this and when the sun is shining later into the evening, the lighting across the tundra is really beautiful. So that's tonight. It says Friday. Well, okay, Friday night. They've got a confusing way here. I'm going to go on Saturday. Saturday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers, highs in the 50s. Okay, and let's see. I think we have a break coming up shortly. I'm going to give a quick Tundra Drums announcement. On June 18th, okay, that was yesterday, I think. Yeah, June 18th, the Kuskokwim River. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My apologies. This is set up in a way I'm having a hard time reading it. Tomorrow there will be a food bank, Saturday, June 20th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. behind the Lions Club outdoors. curbside masks and social distancing will be required. Volunteers are needed and can come in at 10 to help set up. So again, tomorrow, Saturday, June 20th, from 11 to 1, there'll be a food bank behind the Lions Club outdoors. Yeah. So we need to go on into our break. That's the tender little music that gets us into the break. You can take a quick break and we'll be back. You're listening to Talk Line on 640 AM.
TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Washing your hands is an important part of preventing the spread of illness, including COVID-19. If your home or community does not have running water, you likely cannot wash your hands with the recommended soap and water. There are a number of effective ways to clean your hands when water is limited, including hand sanitizer and diluted bleach solutions. Visit www.ykhc.org/COVID-19 for alternative hand washing methods and for the latest news from YKHC regarding the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. If you have symptoms like a cough, fever, or shortness of breath and think you have the virus, do not go to your village clinic and do not go to the emergency room in Bethel. Instead, call your village clinic or in Bethel, call 543-6949. This message brought to you by YKHC and KYUK.
One of the best ways to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus is to keep it clean by frequently washing your hands for at least 20 seconds. Another is to keep it safe by wearing a face mask when you are near other people. Also, keep your distance by avoiding crowds and maintaining good social distancing of at least 6 feet when around others. If you develop symptoms such as persistent cough, a fever, loss of taste or smell, or difficulty breathing, call the Bethel Family Clinic at 543-3773 to arrange a coronavirus screening. That's 543-3773. Bethel Family Clinic reminds you to keep it clean, keep it safe, and keep your distance. These simple steps may save your life or that of a loved one. This message is brought to you by Bethel Family Clinic.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We're going to go right to a caller, Anonymous from Bethel. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning. I would like to know how come they let these out of state people come to Bethel and bring in that thing.
Well, they're trying to control people when they come to Bethel are supposed to self-quarantine and get the test at the airport. They can get the test if they want for free, and then they should self-quarantine until they get the results.
What if I want to go Anchorage for my appointment, and then what can they do to me? I already tested, and it was negative.
Right, so if you go into Anchorage and you get the test and it's negative and you come back to Bethel, you can still get the test again when you arrive in Bethel to make sure you didn't pick it up in any of the hours before you came, and then you would still self-quarantine for 5 days.
Where at Bethel?
In your home, yeah, in Bethel.
I do want to quarantine in Bethel. I want to quarantine in the village.
Oh, you're calling from the... okay. Yeah, you can do that.
They do that? But they don't do that.
I think each villages have different policies, so I do not know myself.
Well, they should stop letting those out of people out of state come into Bethel anymore. They're bringing thing.
Oh, the virus, yeah. Okay.
They should know better.
Well, I hear your concern on that, for sure. All right, thank you for calling.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Okay, so we have Cesari's back. I think, Cesari, you were going to tell us a story.
Yeah, I'm getting started, but first I... About this only a couple of seconds about coronavirus. We know it's dangerous. We know they affect olders and youngers. But coronavirus caused lots of trouble for regular sickness people, the people dying. Nobody telling anybody how many people die from cancer because they delayed the treatment, because how many people die with liver disease and kidneys and respiratory problems. Nothing to do with virus. Nobody saying that.
Well,
there was delaying. I know for facts there was delaying several people in Bethel for treatment of cancer because it's coronavirus. Those people, some of them, I believe, we have lawsuit because the causes cancer spread it and to the stage when it's not recoverable. Same thing with other things. I know for facts, my grandson been waiting for 1 year for testing for his allergy to something, and when the time came, coronavirus came. That kid suffered sometimes, breaking up, itching, crying so bad. And when every time when that happened, you know, because coronavirus causes the problem. And if we close up everything, sources of the food, sources of the stores and barbers and transportation,
okay,
we go down the hill. So
all right.
That's all what I say. You comment later. But
okay.
I tell you about those
go ahead.
First experience when I landed in the United States. I get a job for $2. I actually get two full job, $2.05 an hour. And Westin Hotel is 3 dishwashers. I barely speak English. We have a bunk with 2,000 to up to 3,000 people. And when it's 1,500, not too many. We have to wash all the dishes with those people, those rich people. They have plenty spoons and forks and things. It's 3 of us. One guy, American guy, kind of slow motion, slow thinking guy, but really hard worker. I was work and was one color guy. And we're not allowed to go to bathroom with working hours. We just have to wait and hold on to the 10-minute break and after 2 hours and 40-minute lunch and 10 minutes after 2 hours to go to bathroom. And this guy disappearing for 2 hours in lunchtime, coming, his eye rolling. I never see anything like that in my life. I have no idea what to say. And one time we have 25, I can stay. There was no one thread dry on my clothes. There was all soaked wet, sweating. We have to work his job. And I throw those big plates with those dishes and start to floor, and I grab him and I think I'm going to choke him to death. And there's so noisy, people come separate us. And I find out from another guy, that American guy, I never show up for about 2 weeks, and he said, don't come because they're going to kill him. Everybody looking for you. And I about a month gone, and I go get my pay, and supervisor, she said, oh, come back to work, we fire him, we can do nothing because we be sued for huge money for discrimination. I told about us, about me and that another guy. I told, she said, please come back to work. We're right here. I don't know. Thank you. And I left, and I find a job with my profession. But, you know, there was first contact when I was excused to be treated equal with somebody else because discrimination. You know, this... I was called lots of different names and swear and stuff in my life, but that thing I never forget it. You know,
yeah.
This thing was not fair to be treating. And I not sue them. I not, but that's what it's about. These lawsuits and get excused to not do or do not job what you're supposed to do. And that's what is my contact. That's what I tell you the story in there. That was first contact. With really discrimination, others, other way, not way it was supposed to be. No, and that's what it is. And with that coronavirus again, you know, we have to have common sense. And I only worry about using mask. And I wish everybody using mask. But we have that freedom and. To choose it and get common sense, and we're warning a neighbor or somebody in the line, hey, go ahead and use your mask or something, and wash your hands and sanitize the hand. Even in store have and print or sanitizer.
Okay.
You have to make it your own. I have some, I'm supposed to drink my vodka and I'm washing my hand with it. No.
I got you there. Okay, thank you, Cesare.
Okay.
I'm glad you called back.
Have a good weekend.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Okay, well, amazingly enough, the lines are open. We have three ways for you to call in. If one call line doesn't, you don't get through, try the other one. You can call 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org. So if you're kind of a shy person, you can be anonymous, and you can also email, and I will read your email over the air. So today is June 19th. It's called Juneteenth. I thought I'd just tell you just a little tiny thing about why we have something called Juneteenth. Okay, so anyway, when Lincoln did the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, which was to discontinue slavery and to free all people who had been enslaved, they didn't have Facebook back then. They didn't have cell phones. So word of the Emancipation Proclamation took some time to spread out into the United States. And the last place to finally receive word was Texas in 1865. And so in 1865, when Texas, the last holdout with slavery, finally got word and the people were liberated, there was a lot of feasting and a lot of joy among the people who had been enslaved, and that's why we have June 19th as the celebration of Juneteenth and the recognition and respect for that time in our history. So that's what's happening today throughout the United States. And do we have another caller, Grady? He's typing it in. There we go. Mary is calling in from Bethel. Good morning, Mary. Mary? Is it Mary part two? Mary? Okay. I'm not sure. Was it Mary from before? Oh, okay. All right. Mary called in, but now... Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, so the lines are open, and... A lot of things that people have mentioned, people, you know, did bring up various fish report, but land issues and deeds, how some of what's happening today has reminded people of the 1960s with the civil rights movement. But then questions about masks and some groups wearing masks, some groups are not wearing masks, and these are big groups like protesting, and tomorrow there's going to be a rally for the president in Oklahoma inside a stadium, so they're not going to be outdoors. So then whether that's going to be a time when people wear masks or not, who knows. And Tom from Chelista called to remind people that they can vote at chelistavote.com. And there's, when you vote, when you cast your vote, there's prizes that you qualify, that you can put your hat, your name in for. And we're going to go to a caller from Bethel Anonymous. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Not too bad.
All right.
Hey, you know this, the drift net they've been having?
The
for
what?
Federally qualified users.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I noticed there were some non-ethnic groups in there, and I'm not sure. I think it's under the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, under the feds. I don't see them patrolling out there, but I see the state troopers are out there to enforce, to make sure everybody is under the legal limit for their drift nets. But when they say federal qualified users, they're talking about residents of this community in the YK Delta. But I'm wondering how the other ethnic groups out there qualify or under that federal qualified user status.
Oh, you mean people who are not native?
Yes.
Okay, so is living in Bethel qualify you whether or not you're native?
That's the question. That's the part I'm confused about, because
gotcha. Okay.
They're talking about indigenous people, meaning Alaska Natives.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of confused about this, how you could be a non-resident, a non-ethnic group and qualified to go under that qualifications when it's under the federal guidelines. Because if I heard that gentleman last time on the talk show, that guy from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, he was talking about it's for the people that are Alaska Native and they've been here and lived here all their life, and they this is their way of life. But I've seen, I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but I've seen other ethnic groups out there that had no need to be out there fishing.
Okay, I got you. Okay, that's a good question. I'm not up on those kind of federal laws and stuff, so good question.
And then another thing, I still see four-wheelers on the state highway and the city roads. They're waiting for an accident to happen. The state of Alaska is going to be liable.
Now, are people allowed to drive four-wheelers on the side of the highway?
That's my understanding. That's what they're supposed to do, drive on the side of the the road. That's not the walkway or bike trail or whatever they call that on the side. That's illegal.
Yeah.
They're supposed to drive on the other side. But
yeah.
You see four-wheelers driving right in the middle of the road, and, they're not licensed or legal to be driving on the state highway.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's
so
true.
I mean,
they're out there.
They're out there, and if an accident happened, the state's going to be liable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're not enforcing that law.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. You make a law, you don't enforce it, and then people abuse it, and then we wait till somebody gets hurt or killed, and they say, uh-oh. You know, why do they wait till somebody gets killed?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. Now, on the city roads, they're supposed to be on the side of the road, not in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm. But they can be on the side streets, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
On a regular dirt road that's maintained by the city of Bethel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can be on that road, but on the side, not in the middle of the road.
Gotcha, right.
So, I'm trying to, it's kind of confusing. If you have a law or an ordinance, why is it not being enforced?
Mm-hmm.
Bethel has a bad habit of waiting for somebody to die to enforce something. That makes no sense. Like the lady was talking about, it's a mandate to wear masks in public, and you see people not wearing them. Like she said, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the common sense in the state troopers are not enforcing the state law where no ATV can be on the paved road?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the city police for the city of Bethel. They have a city ordinance that, they can be on the road but on the side. And I'm not sure if they had an age limit. If they did, you had to be 16 years and older with a driver's license. So, what we say and what we do is two different things. If you got a law, enforce it. If you're not going to enforce it and you wait till somebody die, you're still liable because you didn't enforce the law to begin with.
Right, I got you.
And then the scary part is you got some of these kids riding the little four-wheelers with helmets, which makes sense. If I had a kid riding a four-wheeler, irregardless of their age, they're gonna wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be age 10 to 20. You're still going to wear a helmet. If you want to ride this four-wheeler, wear a helmet. If you don't want, you're not going to ride it if you don't have a helmet.
Yeah.
So, like the lady said earlier, where's the common sense in all these people that, and, you know, people are still traveling from Anchorage to Bethel. They're coming from lower 48. We see cases rising in other places where they're, like in Bristol Bay, Dillingham area, those people that come up here to do seasonal fishing.
Uh-huh.
They're, you know, the cases there are increasing because of they're coming from out of state.
Yeah.
So that was my pet peeve for today. You all have a good day, enjoy your weekend, and stay safe.
All right, you too. Thank you. Okay. So the lines are busy. The lines are not busy. The lines are open, which is unusual. So if you've always wanted to make a call to TalkLine, now is a really good time to do it. We have about 10, 15 minutes left of the show. So I'm going to give out the numbers here. 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also dial 800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. So this time of year, I like to check out, I keep track of the flowers and the order that they bloom upon the tundra. So right now, if you're out there and you're in a kind of wet, mossy area, you might see little shooting stars. And that's a very tiny pink flower. It's very adorable. And I suggest that you get really up close and look at it, because for such a teeny tiny flower, it has a lot of detail. It's called a shooting star. All right, well, I'm going to go to Eek and John Carter. Welcome to the show, John.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from Eek, Alaska.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to talk just a little bit about what Joe was talking about earlier on the residency, it becomes the residency of the state of Alaska.
Uh-huh.
The first year, in other words, before I was from San Francisco, I come up to the state of Alaska to live here. People are going to maybe object to my stay here without some kind of a process or some kind of a legal process, or not being registered to be in the state of Alaska. So therefore, the paperwork must be done in legal terms as in process, the first year of processing. First year is processing. Second year is that I would be most likely become a resident as if I was staying here instead of Alaska. That's something that I would like to say, or maybe mention something what Joe was talking about earlier. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, and so we have about a good 10 minutes left of the show, so you're welcome to call in. I was just telling you about the shooting stars. Now, the other little flower you're going to see is the blooms, the little blossoms that go with your the blueberry blossoms are kind of finished, so they're transitioning into berry mode, creating the little berries that we like to go get. But there's still some cranberry blossoms that are out there, so you'll see those. Those are really adorable, very pretty. There'll also be something called a mountain harebell, and sometimes they're called bluebells, and it's a blue flower. Usually it's on its own, and then there'll be other ones, but they're not clustered together. They kind of spread out a little bit, that one. And then another small flower is called a pink plume, and it's on a little tiny stalk that's a little thicker than a hair on your head, and then on top is a little puff of flower, and it kind of looks like a Q-tip swab, but it's pink, and that one's really pretty to see. So there's just so many beautiful plants when you're out walking. I've seen some salmonberry flowers, but I don't tell anybody where that's located. Those are just my little salmonberries that I get to eat later in the summer. Around Bethel, we don't seem to have a lot of berries, but I mean, a lot of salmon berries. Usually you have to go somewhere and get those long fields of berries. Anyway, we're going to go to Barbara, who's on the phone. Good morning, Barbara. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane.
Oh, Barb, hey. How are
you? We're good.
How are you?
We're doing good.
And is Peter there?
Yeah, he's right here.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah.
I want to say something different than everybody else.
You're in Bethel now, right?
Or yeah.
Did you guys go into Anchorage?
No, we didn't go.
Oh,
we've been here.
For some reason, I thought you guys made a trip in, but okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, in your world we went, but we've been here.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, wanted different words than what we said all morning, but to take fish and work on fish, even we never go out.
But you have people give fish to you?
Yeah. Peter Sundman, and his wife been going out, and we got fish from ONC. Not much, but it's enough to work on, enough to get a taste of it, and I'm glad we get to at least have one.
Oh,
it
yeah.
For the winter, and I'm happy for what we get.
Yeah.
Not going to go overboard and say we need half of the fish on the Yukon.
I got a little taste of king salmon because an elder, Esther, she got a king from, I think, ONC or somebody, and so she gave me a little fillet, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Very delicious.
Yeah. Well, Father's Day is Sunday, so is it?
Father's Day is Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Nice, nice.
And all the single moms taking responsibility to be the mom and dad.
Yeah, yeah, there's that. Thank you.
But have a good, safe weekend. We're off to therapy.
Okay, very good. I'm glad that's still going on. And my best to Peter there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
All right.
Hugs to the furries.
Thank you.
And safe walking out on the tundra.
Yeah.
Good to hear you. We listen to you all the time.
I'm so glad you called.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So we're going to go to Wassily from Nebosiak. Hi, Wassily.
Hi. Second caller here. I was suggested to call and ask about the barges coming in to see if it's cruise tested for COVID-19.
Oh, you mean are the barges still coming even with the virus?
No, if they had a test, if they do get tests for COVID-19 before coming in, or like if they are about to set out.
Oh, you mean the barge workers?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I think they're tested, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. And one more thing about a police issue. When I was a cop here in this village, we had new employed without training. And then during that time, one of the drunks got a broken arm by that guy. There was a talk going out that the police officers broke this guy's arm, and it turned out to be, it was a singular cop doing that, the untrained cop, and it turned out to be like people made it turn out to be like, you know, a plural, like cops did that.
Yeah.
So something like this happens, you know, like this incident in, is that in Michigan?
Michigan, yes.
Yeah, something like that. It just happened, and all of a sudden, you know, other cops, are at this whatever it is, you know.
Uh-huh.
Even if they're good cops. All right, then. Good morning. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you. I'm gonna go to a quick anonymous email, and it goes like this. I agree with the anonymous caller. The city needs to enforce the ordinances and laws already on the books, kind of like the dog leash law, or that loose dogs need to be tied up. If those ordinances were followed, a young man died last fall because a loose dog ran out in front of a four-wheeler, causing a tragic accident. Okay, and to the question about people being able to subsistence fish, even if they're not from Bethel or they're not indigenous, we found out that there's a 12-month residency requirement for subsistence use. So once someone has lived in Bethel for 12 months, they then qualify, 12 months in Alaska, they then qualify for the subsistence use permits. All right. So I think that is our show. That went by really fast. Oh, I'm sorry. He said there was 2 minutes. I thought that was the end of it. Okay. Do you have any announcements of anything coming up, Grady, that you want to promote? Oh, okay. So I think KYUK is honoring the solstice. So the staff has a holiday today because it's the solstice. And so there'll be no local news. Okay, I got that now. All right. And I was going to say I had one other thing about upcoming events, but it's kind of spaced. It spaced my mind there. Yeah. Sorry. So, okay, well, there you go. There's no time to really say a whole lot more anyway. I remembered what I was going to say. Oh, so one thing is... the university is doing a piece of research, so leaders in your community may receive a survey. Very quick and easy. They do online. Takes like 5 minutes. And what we're looking for is how are villages throughout the state of Alaska, how are they enacting policies regarding the coronavirus? So... does your community have requirements before someone can visit? Does your community have a protocol if somebody gets a positive case? Is there a way your community organizes itself? And the key part about this is just to learn from communities really good ways of keeping people safe and protected. And we want to learn from those villages that have been enacting various policies. So if you're